We appreciate you, Lord. All we ask this morning, O Lord, let your glory fill the temple, Lord. No man will take your glory. No hindrance, O Lord. Thank you for answered prayers. For in Jesus' wonderful name we've prayed. Can we have our seats in God's presence this morning? I greet everybody good morning, and I appreciate the glory of God over everyone's presence here. I say his glory will not diminish in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. For God that has kept us and has sustained us up to this moment, we appreciate it. To our Father and the Lord that has given us this opportunity to be here, that we will pray, O Lord, that you will see Jesus. Amen. For every ministers, the spiritual parents, fathers and mothers in the house this morning, that has given us the opportunity, that made us to stand on their own shoulder so that we can stand taller, we pray, O Lord, that your testimonies will not be dented in Jesus' name. Amen. For brothers and sisters, the youth in the house this morning, I pray God will make every one of us the battle axe for the end time in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something I've come to realize. By God's grace this morning, we'll be talking about life in abundance, living it to the fullest. Can we echo it together? Life in abundance, living it to the fullest. And one of the ways we can live life abundantly is by giving God's praise. Thank God for today. Be Thanksgiving service. We've done the first of it. And at the end of everything, no matter what we gather, no matter what we acquire, no matter the level we attain in life, our life must give him presence. Must give him what? Praises. In life, no matter the level you attain, no matter the wealth you gather, no matter the amount of good health you enjoy, no matter how prosperous your children are, if nothing, none of them is pointing towards God, brethren, I tell you this morning, it's not a life worth living. And I pose a question to every one of us, which I know we have different definitions, but time might not permit us to hear our view about the definition of abundance. When we are talking about abundance, what are we talking about? As I said earlier on, we have several definitions, several opinion. Some would say to have it in what? To be plentiful. Okay, probably I should just share one or two ideas. Can we echo it? What's the meaning of abundance? Excess, surplus, plenty. Any other one? Sufficient, enough, full, overflow, agada, and on like that. Now, when we are talking about abundance, where and how are we meant to get the abundance? Abundance is what? In what? Not in debt. Not to be on a hospital bed. Not in bad things. But abundance of what? Good health. Yes or no? Sound mind, good things, spiritual things, material things, in everything you can think about. Now, let's consider God's mindset when we talk about abundance. Quickly, can we open to the book of John chapter 10, verse 10? It's a Bible verse we all know. We'll be looking at one or two things, and we also look at why, as proposed by God, as determined by God, why are we not living that abundant life to the fullest? How are we to attain that life to the fullest? These are the things Holy Spirit will be helping us through this morning, which I believe come next month, we will have reasons to testify to God in Jesus' name. And henceforth, our life, our homes, our marriage will show the glory of God in Jesus' name. Quickly, John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Hi, Jesus is the one talking there. I come that I might what? Have life and
and that they, okay, sorry, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You are not in the caliber of those God has created to live, sir. You are not among those as created, God has created, to add to the number. If there is any good thing that is being said, your home is meant to be a partaker. Someone said you are not yet a blessing if your blessing cannot bless people around you. Yes or no? The kind of resources we are talking about is not just the one that is sufficient for you and your home alone. When the Bible says you will lend to nation, what do you think the Bible is talking about? Abi, someone that only has 100 naira and there is somebody beside him crying that I need 110 naira. To such fellow, it's not a prayer request granted at all. But when you have it in abundance, when you have it in excess, you can go ahead and give 200 naira instead of 100 naira. Also, because of our time, we'll not be able to look at that, but media can help us. The book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, I know my thoughts towards you. This is God talking. Say, they are thought of what? Huh? So where is the battle coming from? Where is the war coming from? If the one that knows your end from the beginning is saying his thoughts towards you is peace, huh? Then where is he coming from? It is only the peaceful mind that can shout hallelujah. So if you are not at peace, you find it difficult to shout hallelujah. If the peace is not in abundance, you cannot enjoy life to the fullest. Said, the thought I have towards you are the thought of peace. And he went ahead to give you what? An expected end. God expects certain things from you, the same way you expect some things from me. God expects that at the end of everything, because our God is a businessman, for everything he has given unto us, he has told us initially in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, that we should go, we should dominate. Is that not? We should replenish. To replenish simply means to multiply, to regenerate, to give you an expected end. Growing up, every one of us, we had that, we have one or two expectations. We have one or two things we wanted to do. We have our mindset. We have the academic level we want to get. We plan to get to, and many other things like that. So from the passage, it is obvious that living in abundance entails what? Enjoying whatsoever God has given you. What are the things God has given you? Your hand. Nothing should debar you to use it to do any good thing. Your health. You should not be spending unnecessarily on your health. I'm not saying not to take care of our health, but one ailment or the other. That is not God's plan for us. Your husband is not to be giving you headache and wahala. Likewise your wife, likewise your children. Said our brain, every part of our body. Now let me tell you something else. Living in abundance also simply means having communal fellowship with God. Cause me wrong. There is no way you say you want to live in abundance, there won't be a fellowship between you and God. When you look at the book of Third John chapter 3 verse 2. Says as your hello, can you help us with that? Media please. Third John 1:2. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be what? Good health, as thy soul what? Prospereth. It is when you are in good mind, it is when you have good heart, it is when you have good health, then serving God becomes easier. You serve God with ease. You clock 70, you clock 80, you clock 90, and you are still very, very strong doing what God thinks. You are still very, very strong serving God. You are still very, very strong doing everything. Now, these are the mindset of God for every one of us. But many a times, what we get is far from this. People get far lesser pain instead of good health, sorrow instead of joy, hatred instead of love, shortage instead of surplus. Why? There's something the devil understands, our enemy. Now, when we're talking about enemy, it's no one else but the devil. There's something you understand that many of us, we don't understand, or probably we know we handle carelessly, and that is number one. The devil understands that when there is a cordial relationship between you and God, the best he can do is nothing. Praise God. Praise God. That when there is what? Cordial fellowship. When there is consistent fellowship. When there is effective communion between you and God, the best, the highest he can do is what? Is nothing. For every challenges we go through, for every trauma, for every pain, those physical things are not the targets, but the very target is our soul. You need money at a particular point, you don't have it. Hey, it is not that pain at that moment. What the devil is after is what? Is your soul. You are in a particular class for a longer period. It is not about that qualification. But the devil, what he wants is more than that qualification. All the devil has is your threefold ministries. The Bible made us understand from where we read. He said the thief, all he has come to do is to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. To steal, to kill, and to what? And to destroy. Why? It is simply because we are at battlefield, and the main enemy, the devil, does not want us to enjoy this. When you look at the book of 1 Samuel, media, please help us with that. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 to 3. Talking about David and his men. When they came back from Ziklag, and before they came back, they went out for another assignment as directed by God. But on coming back, what they met was totally different thing. The Bible made us understand there that David's two wives, their children, their wives, and every old belongings they have has been carted away by the enemy. And that is not the only thing. They burnt down their camp. But one thing God did not allow them to do is to destroy their souls. And that is the mistake the devil has been making right from the onset. And he will continue to make it. That is, for the fact that we are still alive, we will get there. We will enjoy abundance. When you look at that passage very well, when you read it, the Bible made us understand that they went with everything, but they left the family alone, and so on like that. When you look at the book of Mark, can you please help us with the book of Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 48, talking about blind Bartimaeus there. What he has been known for is what? As a blind man, begging day and night, being at a particular point, and when he noticed that Jesus was passing by, that, you know, this is my opportunity to enter into my breakthrough, he cried that, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And people said, keep quiet. So long that they've taken sight away from him, they still want to take away voice away from him. These are just the wickedness full in the hearts, day in, day night. I pray
our sight will not be taken away in Jesus' name. I pray once again, your voice will not be taken away in Jesus' name. Wherever your voice has been taken, the heaven restore on your behalf this morning in Jesus' name. After all said and done, how do I key into a life of abundance? How do I take my possession? How do I live in plenty? How do I live in surplus? One, you must be born again. No controversy, no negotiation. There's nothing you can do. You can't sit on the fence. You can't sit on the fence. You can't sit on the fence. Get it right. There's no decoration about that. You must be what? Born again. Can you say it to the person sitting beside you? You must be. You must be. I don't like the way we are saying it. Say it emphatically. You must be. That is the very first one. The other one, the set of people we associate ourselves with goes a long way. Media, please. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7. To live in abundance, the set of people you associate yourself with goes a long way. Are there people that take you away from God or take God away from you? Or there are people that get you closer to God? If you lose your friend now, who are they? Now, after David has been distressed, he's been challenged as a leader. He has faced trouble here and there. They promised to kill him, to stone him to death. And thank God for David's associates. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's sons, I pray thee, bring me either the effort, and Abiathar brought either the effort to David. When you look at verse 8, what happened to that effort brought to David? And David inquired of the Lord. And David what? And David inquired of the Lord. When David was distressed, when he was under trouble, he needed way out. And the next person, the next available flight, it's someone that can take him to heaven's gate. Who are those that you associate yourself with? And to the youth and the younger generation this morning, the things we do on daily basis, where are they taking us to? Where are we ending to with those things? No two ways about it. Another one, you must be a regular tithe payer. When you look at the book of Malachi, the promise is there. He said, when you do this, I will open the windows of what? Of heaven. He promised to rebuke canker on our behalf. Because of our time, we won't dwell much on that. You must be dogged. Tell somebody, you must be dogged. You must be dogged. You must be dogged. There's a saying in Yoruba that says, Alagidi loga alagbara. He that is stubborn is superior to him that is what? That is stubborn is superior to him that is what? That is strong. Praise God. Praise God. You keep beating, and you should be saying, I'm not going, say, Pamisibi. It's better I what? I die. And that will be combined with another point, which says you have to get everyone's attention. Can we echo that? Get everyone's attention. For you to live in abundance, for you to enjoy abundance, you must be dogged, and you must what? Get everyone's attention. Now, I'm going to slow down on that. That is the last point. But I want to point one or two things to us there. Combined with everything we'll be saying since morning. Media, please. First, Mark chapter 10 from verse 46. Mark 10, verse 46. As we round off, now we'll read together. And came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus,
The son of Timaeus sat by the highway side, begging. Pause. As he was leaving Jericho, he went with his disciples. And what? And great number of people. Those that have things to do, and those that don't have things to do. Those that are there just to add to the number. Those that are just there to clap. They are what? They are there. Those that they've not come to the markets to buy, not to sell. All they've come to do is to add to the noise. Now go ahead, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. At that point, I had another point to it. You must have an effective altar. You must do what? Have effective altar. David raised altar in 1 Samuel chapter 30 when he inquired of the Lord. Don't forget, an altar is a place where divinity and physical meets for what? For an action to take place. The altar might be what? Spirit God altar or the other one. But for things to work, don't forget, spiritual controls the physical. So there is no way you will live a life of abundance without what? Operating an effective altar. May I tell you this? For those that don't have, for those that don't run that altar, all you've been doing before now, you've been what? Operating under another man's altar. And it is only the drum they beat for you there you will dance to. You don't get it. When you allow a strange priest to run your altar, the best you can do is to dance to such priest's altar. Now let's go back to the book of Mark chapter 10 where we are. Now, the son of, verse 47. Verse 47. Don't forget the 3-in-1 points we've combined. You must be dogged. You must be ready to get everyone's attention. And one of the ways to get everyone's attention is to raise an altar. Either through altar of prayer, altar of praise. Very, very important. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, you know, this man knows who he's serving, or he knows what he wants to get. He desired an expected end. He began to cry out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. Now, verse 48. And many charged him that he should what? Hold his peace. Wickedness. What did I say? Wickedness. Who are those that are supposed to help him and take him to the what? To the feet of Jesus. That this man needs healing. So many a times you are disappointed because of one or two expectations. Don't let it be strange. Henceforth, there's nobody anywhere. You must make your altar run. You must be that priest. You must get everyone's attention. And many charge him all your peace, but he cried. With what? With a great deal. You just have to be dogged. This man was dogged. He knows that all he needs to do is to get everyone's attention. And the way he can do that is to have an altar running. To have an altar running. Praise God. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still. Praise God. And Jesus what? Stood still and commanded him to be called. And they call him. And they call the blind man. In fact, they've removed Bartimaeus now. He's now what? The blind man. Saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. I pray this morning that for your sake, for the sake of your children, for the sake of your own, heaven will stand still for your sake in Jesus' name. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garments, rose and came to Jesus. Verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, all I want is that I know you've given me sight right from the onset to do the work of an evangelist, to fulfill my calling, to work in my ministry. And at this point, all I'm asking for is what? My sight. And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. That sight is for a particular purpose. It's not just there to see. And that is why they say many people look and they don't see. Can we go to the next verse, which is the last verse? And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately received his sight and followed Jesus the way, which is the main purpose, that every life must give glory to God. Immediately he received his sight and he started fulfilling his purpose. Immediately he received his sight and he started living abundantly. Immediately he received his sight and he became useful to God. Can we rise to our feet this morning as we cry to God in one or two prayers concerning what we've heard this morning, and say, Father, avenge me of my adversaries. Can you open your mouth and talk to God? That, Father, wherever I've been silenced, oh Lord, by the situation, oh Lord, by the circumstances, oh Lord, avenge me of my enemy. Lord, avenge me of my enemy. In Jesus' mighty name we prayed. I pray God will open our eyes and see the importance of that prayer. And lastly, because of our time, you will talk to God. Probably you should hold somebody beside you. Talk to God. And I want you to take it seriously. That God, raise me voice. Now, when we are saying God should raise us voice, even the voice of our enemies become useful. You ask me why? When blind Bartimaeus shouted, they asked him to keep quiet. And I know the way they would have said keep quiet. They would just say, keep quiet. They would have raised their voice, that young man, keep short. And that got Jesus' attention. So you talk to God, Father, raise me voice. Raise voice for me. Give voice for me that will bring around, turn around concerning my life, that will make me to launch into abundance. Father, give me voice this morning. Hey, as we go to an end of the first phase of this year, in Jesus' name. I know 100% of us will watch football. I know in first half mistakes are allowed. You can do one or two errors, Abi, then you go on break. Then coming second half is always with full force. People change their strategies, they change their formations and everything. Maybe you've forgotten. The month of June is just what, the last month in the first half of this year. The way you are planning to come in full force, the enemies are also coming in full force. So it now takes the master planner to win. So you talk to God. Lord, raise me voice. Over my home, let the heaven tear. Over my career, over my marriage, let the heaven stand still.
Lord, raise your voice. Lord Jesus, raise your voice for me.